above them all. And when you read in Ephesians 1, I think 15 to 23, there's a part where he says, Jesus is seated in the heavenly places at the right hand of the Father, far above all rule, far above all dominion, far above all principalities and power. So I just need you to raise your voice to say, God, thank you this morning that you've allowed us to be in your house to worship you. You've allowed us to be in this place to honor you, to magnify your name. Because there is no other name but the name of Jesus. There is no other name but the name of Jesus. No other name but the name of Jesus. Jesus, we lift your name on high. We lift it above cancer this morning. We lift it above cancer this morning. We lift it above anxiety this morning. We lift it above depression this morning. We lift it above heart conditions. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, we lift your name on high. For there is no other name but the name of Jesus. Above marriage challenges, above marriage issues, around stomach problems, we just speak the name Jesus. We speak the name Jesus. Jesus, we worship you in this place. God, we thank you. You know, in Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not his benefits. He heals your diseases. He delivers you from the enemy. He sets you free. Come on, thank Jesus. God, we thank you for the cross. God, we thank you for your blood. God, we thank you for the joy that, Lord, you endured the cross, for the joy that was set before you, which is you and me. God, we thank you for your presence. God, we thank you for your grace. God, we thank you for your authority. God, we thank you for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for what you're about to do, Lord. God, we thank you for the faith that's arising in this place. God, we thank you for the joy that's arising in this place, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God, we pray, let joy arise in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Come on, praise him. Come on, praise him. He's here to set you free. He's here to bring freedom to your life. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. I feel like I can go on and on, but we need to share the message. You know, you can't just say you believe, but it needs to show in how you speak, in how you act. Because as you believe is how you act. As you believe is how you walk. And we were singing amazing songs. Can we just thank our worship team? Those were fantastic, amazing songs that we're just learning about what God wants to do. My topic today is, do you know that God has called you to bring your talents and skills to enrich what God is doing in this house, what God is doing in this place? If I had to put a poster, I would have done the Uncle Sam one where he says, your country needs you. But I thought that was a bit naff, so I decided against that. But one of the messages today is, God's house needs you. Because without you, God's house would not be the way it is. It needs you, number one, to be who God has called you to be, but also to participate in his house so that we can see his kingdom come. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has called you so that you can contribute to his house, because we are the body of Christ. If we were all like Pastor Ray, then we'll be in trouble. If we're all like Ezra, we'll be all in trouble. So God has deliberately placed you in this house for a purpose and for a reason. And we will try to explore that today, to see how can you be a part of God's house? How can you be a part of his kingdom? Because God's idea is to take over this city. I really mean it. Take over. But take over can't be done with one person. It needs you to stand up. It needs you to hold your position, to bring what you've got. When we read in Ephesians, which I kind of mentioned as we were praying, from 15 to 23, we're not going to read all of it. I just wanted to pick up the bit around towards 22 to 23, where it talks about that the church you see is no peripheral to the world, but the world is peripheral to the church. So number one, the church should be the center that's directing what's happening in the community. You should be the trendsetters, not you following what's happening in Waterlooville. You should be the ones setting the way. You should be the ones leading the way. But it takes seeing. It takes understanding. Which is why when you read this verse, you hear Paul praying to say, I'm praying that you will be able to be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So the first step is for you to have wisdom and revelation in who God is. Which is why we're talking about what do you believe. Daniel 11:32 says, those who know their God would be strong and will do mighty exploits. So the God you know is the God that you're going to stand with, is the God you're going to call upon, is the God that you're going to be talking about, is the God that you're going to be demonstrating. So the first thing is, may God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Because if you don't know who Jehovah Jireh is, you're always going to be in lack. If you don't know Jehovah who is able to fight your battles for you, you're always going to be constantly fighting. You're not going to be standing still and saying, greater is he in me than the one in the world. Because you don't know who God is. So our prayer for you this morning is he will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Which part of God do you need to know this morning? Which part of Jesus do you need to know this morning? Because we were singing, your name is the greatest. Your name is the highest. It's above them all. But if you don't know who God is, then we have a challenge because we can't represent what we don't know. So we pray that God will give you the knowledge, the revelation, the spirit of wisdom and the knowledge of him. The other part it says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know the hope in which he has called you. God did not just save you to sit and warm up your chair. He's called you for a purpose, which is why we read Ephesians 2:10, that we are his workmanship created for good works. So God has called you because he's got a job for you to do. The church is Christ's body, which is the last verse, 23, in which he speaks and acts and he fills everything with his presence. So the church, you and me, is how God is going to speak to our community. Is how God is going to act to our community, is how God is going to touch our community. So God wants to use your hands, wants to use your voice, wants to use your life to bless the community. How is your life being aligned to God? How is your life being aligned to him? I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but as you don't really understand what my life is like. I don't have the right look. I'm not that kind of person that people will say, God can use you. But if you read in 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21, it's saying, now in a large house, which is the church, there are not only vessels and objects of gold and silver, but also vessels and objects of wood and earthenware. And some are for honorable, which is noble or good use, and some are for dishonorable, which is ignoble or common, as some people will call it. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things which are dishonorable, disobedient, sinful, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, which is set apart for a special purpose and useful for the master, prepared for good works. So we started by, you are God's workmanship prepared for good works. But some of you, the way you see yourself is not right. You're thinking, oh, but you don't understand where I've come from. You don't understand what my life is like. But actually God is saying, it don't matter what kind of vessel you are. You might not fit the mold. That doesn't matter. Because what matters is what's inside the vessel. You know, if ask Joseph to say, Joseph, when he was in prison, you'll be the next prime minister. He'll be looking at you like, really? Are you joking me, right? But God can do it. If you ask Philip was only serving people food and feeding people. But Philip is one of the first people you hear in the Bible to do what we call teleportation. So teleportation is you move, you're here, and you're not here. You're now in another place. Because God's power, God's presence was on him. The first martyr was Stephen, who was busy just feeding, not doing much. But because he allowed God's power to work through him, he was able to do amazing things for God. So how are you allowing God to fill you as his vessel? How are you allowing God to bless your life so that you can be a blessing to this house? Because like I said, we need you. But you also need God to fill you up, because whatever person you are, whatever vessel you see yourself, God wants to fill you up with his grace, with his presence. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So the key point here is this. God wants to fill your life so that you can save his house. And as you are serving his house, remember the church is central to the community. So that as you are part of the church, you are able to influence community in business, in your faith, in whatever you do, whether as a mother, whether as a grandmother, whatever it is that you do, God wants to manifest through your life so that he can impact the nation or the society around you. So how is it that if God is that powerful, if his presence is that powerful, as you were singing, your name is the highest, it's above them all. As you were singing, God is sitting in the heavenly places, far above all rule, far above all authority, far above all dominion. How come that some of us are struggling today? How come some of us are not walking in the power and the grace, in the freedom? You know, we're singing, I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. How come some of us don't have that joy? Your degree of surrender determines how effective you are in God's kingdom. I'll say that again. Your degree of surrender determines how effective you are in his kingdom. God doesn't care what kind of vessel you are, but so long that earthen vessel is full of God's treasure, then it can do amazing, phenomenal things for his kingdom. So when I say we need you, I really mean it, but we also need you to be surrendered to his grace. Because as you're surrendered to his grace, then you're able to bring whatever small you bring plus him on it. Wow, it's going to be amazing. You're going to be taking over this city. You're going to be running this city from politics to education to everything that God wants to do, but it takes people who are surrendered. What does it look like when you've got God's treasure in you? Isaiah 60 verse 3 talks a little bit about that, gives us an insight. And it says, and nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. So as you are surrendered to God and he's putting treasure inside of you, then the treasure will start to go brighter and brighter. And you don't have to look for kings. They just come looking for you because they can see the light that's rising inside of you. So how do you get light? You get light by being in the Word, by praying, by meditating on the Word, by sitting under the teaching of the priest of the house. And then you act on that Word. And then when you act on that Word, then your light, the treasure, will start to bubble up, will start to become brighter and brighter, so that people can experience God's grace in your life. So some of you are probably still wondering, what does surrender look like? How do I do that? Romans 12, 1 to 2 says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So it's saying everything that you do, take it and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. So don't become well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention to God, because he will change you from the inside out. You see, God doesn't start from the outside. So that's why we're saying it doesn't matter what earth suit you're wearing right now, because actually God is more concerned with what's inside of you. He wants to place his treasure in you so that that treasure can start to become brighter and brighter, so that kings can come to you. It says, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. So it's not only about surrender, but it's also about obedience. When God speaks, be quick to obey. Unlike the culture around you, which is always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops a well-formed maturity in you. So God wants you to support his kingdom through his house that you're sitting in right now. But he's not only asking you to just go and do what you want to do. He's saying start by surrendering yourself to him, and then he fills you with his presence. And when you're then carrying treasure, people don't care about how you look. They care about the treasure that you're carrying. Because that's what will bring kings to your rising. That's what will bring kings to your light. Because God is operating in and through you. I asked the question earlier. If God is that powerful and is meant to make us live a victorious life, why are we having so many despondent and defeated Christians? Second Peter 1 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we started from, may God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now we're saying you have to keep adding to your faith these different things that you need to do. That's why you're in God's house. Because if you're not in God's house, you're not going to have chances for your patience to be tested. You're not going to have chances for some people to irritate you. But you need to keep your sight unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because he's working on the treasure inside of you. Because the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you'll be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, why do we keep talking about this kingdom? Why does it matter? What is the point of it? If you read from 2 Corinthians 5:17, 20, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on our behalf, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So God's mandate or God's plan is to invade our community with his kingdom. But for us to invade our community, we need you. And he's calling you Christ ambassador. So number one, we've been saved, we've been delivered, we've been set free, not just to sit and warm up the chairs, but to go into our community and expand the kingdom of God. So what does an ambassador look like? I have so many qualities I could mention, but I won't mention many. I'll just focus on a few. So if you didn't know, an ambassador is someone who represents a kingdom, for example, United Kingdom. So if you go to America, for example, you have an ambassador who represents United Kingdom. Or if you go to Jamaica, for example, you have a United Kingdom ambassador. And the reason you have an ambassador there, you're representing the nation you come from. So if you're a UK ambassador in Jamaica, you should not be seen, you know, advertising, you know, Jack chicken over fish and chips just for a laugh. Because in essence, you are not representing your nation. Your job is to represent your nation. Despite whatever delicacies you enjoy there, your job is to represent your nation. So if you're Christ ambassadors, how is your life representing Christ? Because when people see you, they should be seeing Christ. They should be seeing something about you that represents who Jesus is. Something about you that says, you know what? Jesus is on that person. So it's quite funny because what ambassadors do is they should know the current affairs. So if you were speaking to an ambassador of any country today, you can ask them what's happening in United Kingdom. It doesn't matter what country they're in, they will tell you what's currently happening, what is the latest position of the country. So how do they do that? They take time every morning. Either they will talk to the Secretary of State, you know, the Foreign Affairs Secretary, or they will get some kind of a memo that tells them, this is the UK position this morning. When was the last time you got a memo from your kingdom about what is the position of heaven in your situation? Because what is heaven saying to you today? Have you taken time to say, God, I'm your ambassador, I'm here. What is it that heaven is saying about my situation? Because some of you today, you are believing what the devil has said. Some of you, you're believing your sickness more than what heaven is saying. Some of you are believing your difficult moments more than what heaven is saying. That's why we started with, I believe and I therefore spoke. In the Bible, there's a word called homologio. Homologio just means in agreement or confession or speaking the words that you need to speak. So what happens to us sometimes is we wake up as an ambassador for the King of Kings. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But there's me in the morning, oh, my life is so rubbish. I'm nothing. I'm no good. I don't think anyone thinks about me. That doesn't make sense. Because a kingdom ambassador has to agree with saying, God, what do you say about me today? He says, you are my redeemed. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are more than conquerors. You are my beloved one. So then, once you receive what the kingdom is saying, then you can come over here and saying, right, God, I'm speaking as you're speaking. Because the, you know, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, it says, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. So how can it be on you when you don't know what's happening in heaven? So take time to pray in the morning. Take time to pray wherever your morning is, because, you know, with work these days, some people's morning is night. But whatever thing that you do as part of your day, take time to understand what is heaven saying about my situation. Jesus says in John 16:13, I don't think you have this team, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Even the Holy Spirit doesn't speak his own thing. He hears what heaven is saying. Even Jesus, when you read in John, he says, I only speak what my Father speaks, and I only do what my Father does. So as a child of God, as an ambassador for the kingdom, where are your words coming from? Where are your actions coming from? The second quality of the ambassador of the kingdom is only, or she's only committed to the state interests. John 6:38, it says, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So it's always important to know who is sending you. Because when you're sent, then they will then give you the power and the authority that comes with the word that I sent you. So sometimes we find ourselves, when we go to situations, we're struggling because we don't have instructions or we haven't taken time to say, God, here I am, send me. God, here I am, what are you speaking over my life? Third quality, an ambassador only speaks the government's position. So, your reality could be A, but God's truth is B. If you're Christ ambassador, you don't speak about your reality, you speak about God's truth. Because that is the government position. That is the kingdom of heaven's position. Because he says, when we speak, we're speaking what we believe. In Job, I think it's Job 4:20, I believe. It says, and you shall decree a thing, and it shall be established. So every time you're using your voice, you are speaking life. You are speaking victories. You are declaring God's kingdom. So be careful what you speak. Because God has called you to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you can dream or imagine. So are you speaking life to your brothers and sisters? Are you speaking life to your household situation? Are you speaking life to your work situation? Because God wants to do phenomenal stuff in your life. I love the next one. An ambassador never becomes a citizen of the state he's assigned. And some of us are finding ourselves being a citizen of the world which is not ours. Did you know that you're not who you think you are? In terms of some people, when I say, who are you? Oh, I'm British. Oh, I'm Zimbabwean. Oh, I'm South African. No. You came from the Father via that nation because you're a spirit. You belong to the kingdom of heaven. So if you're acting like whatever way you're acting, that's why sometimes you find you have things that are putting boundaries or things that are limiting you. Because you're not seeing yourself correctly. You belong to the kingdom of God. And God is not asking you to become part of the kingdom that you think you're part of. 1 Peter 2:11-12, he says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners. So you are a temporary resident and a foreigner. To keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. So God wants to use your life to impact things around you. Never become a citizen of a nation that's not yours. The last one. The goal of an ambassador is to influence the territory for the state. So how is your words, how is your behavior influencing people around you, influencing community around you, so that God's kingdom can come? So God wants you to be empowered to serve his house. As we finish, I know I'm asking you to do quite a lot. I know I'm challenging you to think, oh, how am I going to do all of those things? The beauty of God's kingdom is he will never send you without equipping you. So when you read in Acts 1:8, it says, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So God wants to empower you with his Holy Spirit. And I urge you, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, let it be your prayer this morning, that God empower me with your Holy Spirit. Even Jesus, he was empowered the Holy Spirit. If you read in Isaiah 11, I think 2 and 3, it says Jesus was anointed with the Spirit of counsel and might, of wisdom and understanding, of the knowledge of the Lord and fear of the Lord. So even Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what he needed to do. God wants to empower you this morning. So as we finish, what am I saying? God wants you not just to participate in his house, but he wants this church to be the center of the community. a center where people can come and receive wisdom. People can come receive deliverance. People can come receive ideas. Whatever it is the society needs, they should be founding it in the house. But it needs you to be part of that house, you to be surrendered, you to present your life before God. And as you present your life before God, asking Him to fill you with His presence, to fill you with His grace, so that we can serve the King of Kings. So as I finish, can I ask you to stand again and just to pray a few, you know, 1 or 2 minutes to say, God, I've heard your word, and God, I'm asking that, let your presence rest on me, let your power rest on me, that you enable me to be surrendered to you, enable me to be surrendered to your word, to be surrendered to your presence, so that, Lord, I can honor you, so that, Lord, I can bring all that you need to bring to me in the house. Come on, pray. Come on, let's pray and just thank him for his word and thank him for his grace. God, we give you all the glory. God, we give you all the honor, power, and praise, because your name is worthy to be praised. Your name is worthy to be exalted. We ask you that, Lord, let your name be exalted. And thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. 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 Everyone just lift your hands in this place this morning. Father God, we thank you that you have called us to live for you. You have called us by name. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence, Lord, right now. Thank you for your presence, Lord, right now. You see each and every one of us individually, and you call us by name. Lord, I thank you that you've created us for a purpose. We are not absent of meaning, or we're not absent of purpose, Lord God, because you have created us and you have said, this is what I want you to do. Lord God, we are ambassadors for your kingdom on the earth. I love that picture. Each and every one of us, all of us, have been called as missionaries. Maybe not always from nation to nation, but from heaven to earth. So Father God, I just bless your people this morning. I'm looking around the room and I'm just seeing everyone who's a God lover. And I'm saying, Lord, thank you for each and every person. Just begin to thank Jesus where you are. Just begin to thank him for his grace. Jesus is what you need. Let's pray this prayer together, just in case anyone's missed it, if anyone needs to come back to God. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you took my sin and my shame. You took my punishment, my guilt. You took my sickness, my disease to the cross. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me, rose for me, and ascended for me. Jesus, I call you Lord. I call you Savior. And I call you friend. If that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, and if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart or be a part of your life, if you've never said to God, here I am, in a moment, I'm just going to ask you to respond just by lifting of your hand. If you've been away from God and you know that you've been disconnected, even though you've been, maybe you've been attending church, but you know that you've just been attending, that God's still very much on the outside of who you are, on the outside of your life, but you're conscious that you need that to change. If that's you, when I count to three, I want you to lift your hand. One, two, no one's looking around. Everyone's got their eyes closed. This is between you and him. Get ready. Three. If that's you this morning, just lift your hand. If you're saying, I'm coming back, Lord, I want you part of my life. You've been on the outside, but now I want you on the inside. If that's you, just lift your hand. Fantastic. Amazing. Father, thank you, God, for your grace, Lord, and your peace, Jesus. As we go from this place, Lord, and as we have an amazing week, Lord, in your presence, Lord, I pray that that thought of being an ambassador, that everywhere we go, Lord, we go carrying your spirit and your presence. Lord, help us this week to have an open ear to what heaven is saying. Lord God, we thank you that you've gone before us. And you're also behind us. That picture's in my mind for someone this morning, that God's covering your back. God's got your back. That as you march forward, God is following you from behind and in front. He's gone ahead of you and he's behind you. He's covering your back. Jesus, thank you for your goodness this morning. We celebrate you. We receive this word in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's give Pastor Ezra a big round of applause.